dear, it's Monday night, the 15th, and I figured that I ought to have just about enough gab to finish off this tape and get it in the mail. Your tape arrived today, and I'm happy that you're having such a good time in Narragansett. And if you can't get in touch with Marguerite, that's all right. I think I mentioned on one of the tapes that there's a possibility that Charlie might not be coming here, that he might be going to Greece. I don't know. That won't change where she's living or anything, though. Well, it's so hot here, it's unbelievable. There's not a breath of air, except the house is pretty cool. As I keep telling everyone, it's because the walls haven't dried out from the wintertime yet. But it's nice, and thank heavens for that. Although I've been going great guns, leaving a little cleaning list for Rosario. No, not an awful lot, but one of the curtains, bedroom curtains, washed, you know, before Alice came here. And a few things like that. And I leave her just a little bit each day so it doesn't get too hot for her. Let's see. Yesterday, I think I told you I went to the Mass at La Immaculada. And I was going to tell you that I went to Father Cunningham's 25th celebration with, and Father Urbano was there too. And he had a very nice celebration. He had all kinds of food and, he had champagne punch for the adults and orange soda, but in champagne glasses for the children. But when I was there, which was quite early, so I don't know, but I was very disappointed at the amount of people that showed up. Although I don't suppose I should have been. Because all in all, they're a very selfish group. I've never met any group. I don't think that any parish in the States could survive on the group of Catholics that we have here. And that's just a terrible thing to say. But they don't like what the Father says. You know, they'll go to church in town and all this business. And he tells them right off, and I guess they don't like that, but I don't think it was that they don't like him. I think it was that there were a couple of bullfights to go to, and there were other things they probably wanted to do, but I still think they could have come over and at least spent 10 minutes, which is about all that I spent, 10 or 15 minutes. You know, what they used to do is everybody would run into confession before Mass, and Mass would be 15 or 20 minutes late on Sunday, and then they had Sunday school after the first Mass. So he said that he's just tired of having all this hustle and bustle, and that they can have their choice. They can have Sunday school on Saturday morning, or they can have it on Monday, during the week, you know, and Sunday after school. But they can't have it on Sunday anymore. He said, this isn't a package deal where you go into the supermarket and get everything. And he was telling him, I guess they had it for a half hour a week, that the instruction was inadequate. So, and then you know what they have the nerve to do, these people. I mean, it's their children, and they have maids and everything else, and they want us to teach Sunday school. And of course, I mean, we work, and many of the times we're working during that, during the time that they would want to have classes. And I think it's a small thing to ask that they give up the time themselves. Of course, I'm not sure how many of them know very much about their religion. But anyhow, he did have a nice thing, but as I say, it was certainly too bad that the people didn't do a little bit more. But they are a pretty self-centered group. Here, let me check this and see how it's working. You know, I'm really the height of laziness. I have it arranged so I can lay on my bed and sit and talk. But as I was saying, the people, you know, they never, for example, no matter how hard you work over them in the hospital, it's a rare individual that will ever say thank you. Not that you expect it, but once in a while it would be kind of nice if someone said, you've been exceptionally kind, or something like that. You know, that they never say thank you to for anything, so I guess Father shouldn't feel disappointed. I understand he's found a house, and he's living in Porto, and he's going to, I have heard that he's going to insist that Father Urbano move out, probably with him, I don't know. Father Urbano Oh, I think he's probably about 35, 36. He's lots of fun. But he feels that, and of course I think he's right, that in the BOQ, people take advantage of the fact that he's there and there. And he's one that always comes no matter when you call him. He'll always come, even if it's his day off or something. Even if it's something like at 4:30 in the morning to baptize a preemie, which is so ridiculous when you think of it, because you can do it yourself, you know. But sometimes you get somebody who's unsure or something, and they call him, and he'll come over, and never a word. But as I was saying, they have a house. I understand it's in Puerto. I don't know where. But he did leave his phone number on the base and said that he would be available any time. But he felt that he had no privacy over on the base. And, you know, every time he smoked a cigar, somebody had a comment. And I don't know where, as I say, he's living, but I think I'll call him tomorrow and tell him if he needs anything that we'll be happy to help him until he gets settled. And if he doesn't have a housekeeper, because I don't know any housekeepers, but I think maybe Mrs. Casilla does, and she might be able to recommend somebody if he doesn't have one already. But, you know, Mrs. Casilla is the lady who owns this establishment. However, that's the story on that. And I came back to the house then, and I told her we had that nurse visiting us that was hopping around the country. And hopping around the continent, I should say. She we went to the beach yesterday. I went to the beach after Mass, and she was, oh, great. It was really lovely. I enjoyed it so much. But it was so hot. Oh. So when they had, they come around, they sell things, you know. They sell crab legs. I told you that. Well, they sell, but I tell you that they sell these tiny, tiny, tiny baby shrimp. They eat them, you know, shell and all, but they're so, they taste pretty good, like potato chips or something, you know, or Fritos, something like that. So, when I came up with the beach, and I went down to Father's reception, and then we came back, and Lowell York, one of the doctors, and Marie Chisholm, another one of the nurses, came over and picked Mary Jane and I up to go to the bullfights in Cadiz. Of course, the tickets were sold out, and when Mary Jane said she wanted to give a ticket away to this other girl, I had a fit. But it turned out that Glenn Harris, who is also one of the fellows that we know, he's a nice boy, offered to take her to Sanlúcar to see the Peraltas. They fight on horseback, and both of them were there, Rafael and Angel. So they fought, and they had four or five other novilleros that were not very good. They're just beginners. Sanlúcar isn't very big. I'm hoping that there's a bullfight when Alice and Mary come. Maybe I told you that. And I'm not so certain that they'll like it, you understand, but I'm hoping that there'll be one. They'll have to see one if they're in España. So we drove over to Cádiz, and I was amused at your comment that Cádiz is the cleanest city in Spain, Pop. It may well be, but that's not saying much for the rest of Spain. I rather doubt it, though. I think Granada is much nicer. But Cádiz is kind of pretty, actually. I'm certain that there's a lot of things to see there, but it's just that I haven't been going over there because I can find what I want in Puerto or Jerez, and I probably will go over there in the fall, like on a Saturday, spend the day shopping. You have to go either very early or very late because, of course, all the stores are closed in the middle of the day. Let me see, what else did I have to tell you? Anyhow, so we went over there, and we got there just in time. And, you know, if you get there, and even if you have reserved seats, and the bull is out in the ring, and someone's sitting in your seat, you can't go up there because the protocol is that you may not leave, or you may not move or sit or anything while a bull is out there. You have to stay stationary. So, fortunately, all the cushions were gone. That's how packed it was. You know, they usually have give you rent for two pesetas a little cushion to sit on during the bullfight so that the cement isn't too uncomfortable. But they had three excellent toreros, Cordobeds, of course, whom I really enjoy so much, and Diego Puerta and Caracal, who was a gypsy. And